Hello, my finest friends. Welcome to my podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Here's a joke from my son. What did the bum say to the other bum? That's a bummer. You know, not for everyone. Look, thanks to everyone who's come to see the previews of Can I Have My Ball Back? It's been going really, really well, and I'm really pleased with how the show's turning out. It's officially on tour now from Wednesday. I'll be at the Leicester Square Theatre. A couple of tickets left. Lots of press coming to that one. It'd be lovely to sell out, but there are a few other London gigs not selling as well. So if you're going to come to London, maybe look up those other London gigs. And then this week I'll be in St Albans on Thursday, Gloucester on Friday, Chorley on Saturday, which is sold out, but you can join the waiting list, and Glasgow on Sunday. Two shows. I think the earlier show is sold out. Check with the venue, but the later show has some availability. Come along if you can. If you enjoy these podcasts and like them being free, then the great way to pay me back is to buy a ticket to a show or buy a download or a book from gofasterstripe.com. But you can just keep listening for free as well. That pays me back also. So, you know, no pressure. But I'd love to see you there. If you just know me from the podcast and don't know me as a stand-up, I'm pretty good as a stand-up. It's a good show. I think you're going to enjoy it. It's only made about seven men faint so far. So, you know, are you brave enough to take the challenge? Let's sit back, relax, and enjoy whichever podcast you're listening to now.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Oh, hi, it's me, Rich Herring. I was just wearing shades because, you know, I've got to keep incognito from the paparazzis. You're about to listen or watch or both to Rich Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. I can keep doing these for free if you keep coming to see me live. I'm currently on tour doing my show Lord of the Dance Settee. That's right, Settee, not Settee. It's very funny. That's the only joke in the whole show. Go to richardherring.com/gigs or richardherring.com/lots/tour, and you can see if I'm coming somewhere near you. There's quite a lot of gigs coming up through the spring all over the United Kingdom, and I shortly will have a small baby to feed, so please come and see it. Please! At least I'll get away from the baby, eh, when I'm on tour. Nice. Okay, sit back and enjoy Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who this week was recorded an episode of Pointless and did better than he did the first time he was on Pointless. It would have been hard for him to do worse. It's Richard Herring! Hello, London. Welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. This is Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast, or as some of the cool kids have begun to call it, Leicester Pound. Yeah, it's confusion now, isn't it? Me saying it slightly different. That's what the cool kids are doing, Andy. Leicester Pound. That's what they are saying. It's just us moved on. Now the kids who say Leicester Pound look uncool. That's the way trends go. But, you know, the actual podcast is still as cool as it ever was. Various things going on this week. I was on Pointless. I can't talk too much about it, but I did do better than last time when I got 200 points for me and my team on the first round. I did better than that, onwards and upwards. I saw Stephen Merchant this week for the first time. He seemed all right. He seemed fine. He's very friendly. He hasn't yet heard the Josh Widdicombe podcast yet. So that's, we'll see what happens after that. There's very excitingly, there's a YouGov, I don't know if you've seen this, there's a YouGov website now which tells you about the kind of fans that you have. You can put in the name of someone who's got fans, I apparently have to sit down for this bit, since I'm reading off my computer. And I'll tell you what you are like. It surprised me, but this YouGov poll tells me what you people at home are like. I'll tell you what, I'll put it there and then I can film it for the people. Nice, this cover, isn't it? Yeah. It costs a lot of money, that. It's very nice. I should get them sponsored. I can't really see it there. So what you are like a bloke with quite cool hair and a bag over your shoulder. That's what you are like. This is a sample size of 289 Richard Herring fans. Your favourite dish, shout out if this is true of you, because if you are one of my fans, your favourite dish is hummus. Which, I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, I like hummus as a little treat every now and again. Do you like hummus? I don't know. Do you hate hummus? Because that is your number one favourite food. You are also like 25 to 39, so I don't know if you know that. You know, it's all right to have at a party or something, but it's not. And I like, it's just hummus. It's not hummus with carrot batons or pita bread. Just like, I've got an image of people sitting at home in their pants watching this, just with a bowl of hummus licking off their own hand. Oh, I love hummus. What you like doing, you like playing an instrument. Do you like playing an instrument, Andy?
Yeah,
see, that's true. You like, these are your hobbies, playing an instrument, writing, and musical instruments. You have limited, those are your top three. Like, that implies the third one, that you like playing an instrument, then also you just like collecting musical instruments. Your favourite sport is cycling and baseball. I mean, this is just bullshit, right? Does anyone like baseball in this room? That is not that. That is not most people in the room. You like video games, that is correct. Your most likely pet is a bird. And what annoys me is they've got your favourite entertainment. We might go through this a bit more because I've got them both. It might be the new Dirty Britcom Confessions. This. Your favourite TV show is Stuart Lee's Comedy Vehicle, which is just taking the fucking piss. Even online, I'm not your... This isn't your favourite. You're my fan. This isn't... You're the top Twitter person you've got, at least. But I'm not... Your top Facebook page is Stuart Lee, Brass Eye and Flight of the Conchords. Fuck you. I hate my fans. So you're all... You're all idiots. We will find out more about... Well, the fans... I quite fancy the fans of Sue Perkins. They are... Look at that. I'll just show that to the people. Look at that girl. That's the fan. It's the fan of... There's like a cartoon of what our fans look like. And my fans are from the Midlands, apparently, mainly. Where were you in fucking Loughborough? That's what I want to know. Anyway, we'll crack straight on. Because Sue Perkins is a very busy woman, and she doesn't want to stay here for very long. She is probably best known, I won't give away who it is, she's probably best known as the voice from Don't Scare the Hare. That is probably her best... She was also, of course, in Live from the... She was also in Live from the Lighthouse. And, well, Never Mind the Full Stops. I'm trying to get everyone from Never Mind the Full Stops onto this show. Please welcome Sue Perkins, ladies and gentlemen. Sue Perkins. Sit down. Have a microphone. There you are.
Massive shit.
I always think it's your most favourite famous thing, so I've got to mention that.
Oh,
What was Live from the Lighthouse? Because that had, like, Peter Bainham wrote for Armando Iannucci was in it. I don't remember Live from the Lighthouse.
Shall I tell you something that's going to just make you feel really bad now?
Yeah.
And Live from the Lighthouse was an AIDS charity fundraiser.
That's good.
And it was, well, it was good, but also a real opener. This was, I guess, I'm trying to think way back to maybe 94. 5 or 96,
yeah.
And they had loads of incredible people manning phones, like Stephen Fry and Davy Ginola, who was the big whoop at the time, and Simon Le Bon when he was tiny and elfin, and they raised about £3 all night. It was all like telethon, and mainly it was people ringing up going, I hope you die. It was really awful because, like, the whole AIDS message hadn't really got out, and even if it hadn't got out, why would you ring someone and say, I hope you die? But it was a fairly miserable night.
It was sort of pre-Twitter.
Yeah, a attempt
to...
Hate mob of sort of homophobic nasties, yeah. And then we went home and cried a bit, and there is no gag at the end of this.
He actually took some money away from AIDS research.
I'm going to work on this anecdote quite heavily at home now.
Did Don't Scare the Hare have any impact on AIDS research? Positive or negative?
It felt like a charity gig, but that was literally the worst programme of all time.
Yeah.
So, did anyone see it? It consisted of, it was sort of a sinister time of day they called Shoulder Peak, which is sort of half six, half seven. Four children and some adults, and it was basically Jason Bradbury off of the Gadget Show chasing a poorly functioning animatronic rabbit slash hare. And I was the voice of it, and it really was awful, wasn't
but
it?
But I'd forgotten you were on it, so that's, it was only looking through IMDb that I remember, saw you were on it.
You can't trust IMDb.
As a voice, you're saved, whereas Jason Bradbury never... Was that his name? He never worked again. So he had a little hat on, didn't he? He thought, this is it, this is my big break, primetime BBC.
He wore braces, which I don't think is acceptable on television. I don't.
And did you enjoy being on Nevermind the Full Stops with the bloke from Downton Abbey on it?
Right. Nevermind, no one has ever seen any of these shows.
They haven't.
It's a voyage of great mystery. Right. Nevermind the Full Stops was an extremely popular show about... punctuation on BBC Four, and I had to say I was troughing career-wise really bad. So I lost my flat, and I was very heavily in debt. And it was they said, "Sue, you may be unemployed and barrel scraping, but we are aware you have a master's degree in English literature, and you might want to do this." And I got sat next to Julian Fellowes, who the multi-millionaire landed gentry guy who writes Downton. And he called me Sue Pollard for an hour. Really was taking a bad situation and making it worse.
Were you on every episode of that?
No, I was on one.
Just one, yeah. No. You weren't like his assistant. I was you were sitting next to him.
I did really well. I worked out where the semicolon should go in a particularly tricky round.
I was on it as well. It was my career highlight. So I thought, yes, I'm back.
What kind of panel show asks guests to work out dependent clauses? Very specific panel show, that's what it was.
But you have done... Oh, no, you haven't done anything good as well. No, you have done...
Yeah, it's just a lake of cess.
You've done... I thought there was a little period where you weren't really... where you had a little... hiatus, but you've been working. You've done a lot of stuff
recently. Look, the hiatus.
Even throughout that difficult early 21st century period that seems to be stretching into the mid 21st century for me. Yeah. That is, you've been working the whole time.
Well, on radio, I didn't work from. Oh, God, I can't believe you've left that casting couch. I mean, if you want a real turd of a show, that is it. I have a long tradition of either not saying no to shows that go on to be extremely successful, or saying a big fat yes to shows that tank without trace. And we decided that because Light Lunch was successful, we had to stop doing it. And instead, what we should be doing is... a panel show about Hollywood with Tamara Beckwith and Chris Moyles. And the pilot episode, the audience was silent, and Chris Moyles, as an icebreaker, dry-bummed me in front of 400 people.
Right.
Two of which were my parents. And it was only one series that went on for.
Okay. Yeah. That's the kind of anecdote that might be useful for a court case in about 15 years' time. We have already had one with Richard Herring's Edinburgh Fringe podcast. If you've listened carefully, you'll find that we've already helped the police convict one criminal. So maybe there will be more to come. And you worked with Charlie Borman on The World's Worst Road. Did you think it was me when you were doing?
I was hoping it was you. You have got the sort of wild mountain man vibe going on now, haven't you?
Well, I get confused for him for quite a lot.
Do like, you?
People have said
Shall
to me,
I tell
well
you
done.
How I know you're not Charlie Borman?
How?
Because every 30 seconds you don't say, "My father, John Borman."
He was in what's it called the Emerald Forest, was that what it
yes.
was called?
Yes, yeah. He's actually a really nice man. Like he is a really nice guy, nice. But he does say that quite a lot, including really remote places. We went to a place called Wildman or something, and it was population 14, and it was just as you hit the Arctic Circle off the Dalton Highway in Alaska. And he did that in front of a German couple, and it just didn't, just no sphere of reference really, no, couldn't get purchase on what he was trying to say. Difficult night. So yeah, he's nice though. He's, but you do, there's a rugged quality that you.
Well, I don't. I think he's hideously ugly.
No, he's not hideously ugly.
He is. So I don't like being compared to other people. Say I look like Brad Pitt. So that I can.
It's quite a, the odd hiccup of ridicule.
But I nearly did that dangerous race, but I was worried about my driving skills.
Why
which aren't very good.
Why didn't you do it?
It was the week that I was doing the first series of this thing, and Charlie, what's his name from there? Charlie Brooker was.
Whatever happened to him?
Whatever, he's disappeared off the radar. He's working with John Hamm now, not me. He was doing it. I thought I'd rather talk to Charlie Brooker than go to Peru with Phil Jupitus.
I
was worried about driving. I'm not. I drive an automatic car.
What? You're not qualified to drive a manual car.
I am qualified, but I've driven automatic for 15 years, so I don't think I could drive a manual car. Certainly not over some planks over a gorge or whatever you have to do.
I think that already you're not suitable for the world's most dangerous roads. That you're going, I can't find second gear, might be problematic for the format of the show.
That was my major worry.
Mind you, I'm really bad at driving. Well, I have no vision really in my left eye, so I don't know if they still do. I mean, I've cheated it a bit. I don't know if they still do this, but you know, you have to read the license plate.
Yeah,
I was used to just shut one eye like a pirate, and now I have perfect like sparrowhawk vision in my right eye. Anything's coming around there, no idea. So there's a lot of veering off roads and collapsing into things, and
How safe did they keep you? Was there like people with the guardrails up and stuff like that?
Oh God, no. They, because the show was called The World's Most Dangerous Show, Roads, they were desperate for one of us to lose a limb or something. I mean, so they would push us into blizzards and, you know, storms and off ravines and I would meet weird hunters who had loaded rifles that were uncocked. I mean, all that sort of stuff, because they just wanted fatalities, I think, if I'm honest, to really bump the ratings up. Yeah, jolly it wasn't, but eye-opening it was, certainly.
Yeah, well, it's sort of, I mean, because there was that element of you going around, oh, well, let's make some noodles on a boat and give that's kind of fun, and then the next minute you're in the killing fields of Cambodia and, you know, talking to a survivor of Pol Pot, and it's very moving, and also you don't really, it's a thing that I think a lot of people don't know very much about that, and it's a very modern...
Yeah, 40 years ago. And we sort of condoned it as the international community. So, 40 years ago, one third of the entire population of Cambodia were, you know, massacred. They didn't use bullets because they were too expensive, and they were just disposed of in these huge graves, which have now become these sort of memorial sites. And I was, you know, I have this default thing of, you know, try and keep everything jolly and try and make everything nice. And then you hit something like that, and it was really interesting. I totally unravelled, because it was just me then going, this is the unconscionable horror, and a bit of crying, and then noodles, and then you sort of... I mean, in a way, I'm making it sound like The One Show, you know, you just you sort of go through all those incredible gears of, oh, venereal disease, oh, look, here's somebody from Loose Women, and
well, I've got to go up the river and find out how to make some rice now, so bye! That's what you have to...
It was, I did,
it's a long river. Sorry.
It was a very long river, but yeah, those sort of gear changes that you sort of make you wince in a magazine programme I sort of did on the river, I suppose, yeah.
But, you know, but I think you've sort of nowadays got to sneak that sort of stuff into TV. I think that's TV's problem, I think, right? Like, in the old days, you would be able to have, like, an hour documentary about that.
Yeah.
But now, they wouldn't do that. So, by stealthily getting those things into a programme that's partly light entertainment, partly educational. Yeah, it's on iPlayer if you want to check it out. And I'd forgotten you're on Big Brother as well. So, Big Brother. So that was
yeah. And I would have liked to have forgotten that as well. But unfortunately, that's just been It was a second comic relief one, and I was not in a good space. And nobody who does those sorts of shows is in a good space. And then I look back and I think I could be really hard on myself, or I could just say that Shelter, who was my charity that year, got £660,000. And that's all right. You know, I look like a proper twat, but I'll take one for the team, do you know what I mean? If it for the greater good and all that, yeah. But it's sort of very hard to reconcile that part of my life.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're lucky, you get a career. And if you're not so lucky, and you and I have had the vicissitudes of that, you know, you have a sort of patchwork of some half-decent things and some shoddy things and some moments on the bus where you think, God, I wish I hadn't done that. But then, little pinpricks of things that are wonderful.
But also, it's worked out. It has worked. Because I would, you know, I've been sort of vaguely offered, not that one, but I've been offered different things like that I would just go no to. But then,
is there one that you'd say yes to?
At the moment, because I haven't got much money, probably all of them. But I've been offered to do the jungle like as a.
Is it masses of money?
It was an early request. I think it is a lot. You know, there is a lot of money, but I don't think there's any amount of money that would.
No.
I don't really want to do anything where they film me asleep.
I filmed you asleep.
I just snore and I slobber, you know, and I know I would just be, if you're there filming you all the time, I'd be picking every.
It depends. So that could be Sexy Bear. You could rebrand the dribbly snory, you know. People go, God, is that Charlie Borman?
If I just pretend I'm Charlie Borman and could take the money. But it's led on, so you've, you know, and I think maybe, I thought Maestro was the thing that had kind of broke it, but you were doing the thing with Giles Corran before that, was that right? Or was that all around the same time?
Sort of the same time,
Because, but then. So one comes along, and then people... That was, like, a thing that people really took you to their hearts, and that was a great show as well, compared to Big Brother as a show.
That's the point of comparison. Most things will do
well. It sort of shows a skill, and it shows your personality in a different way, I suppose.
The Maestro. Maestro. It was just having something to do that was properly worthwhile. Yeah. You know, when you know, this... We do this because we love it, but it's also our jobs. And actually, I wanted to work, and I really started focusing in and studying, and really got into it, and just loved. I love music, and it just sort of worked for me, that program. And
you have grade 8 piano, I understand.
A long time ago, about 100 years ago.
Well, it still gave you an advantage over. Was everyone quite musical in Maestro?
It was quite clever because there was 8 of us, and 4 of us were amateurs who had gone through, done lots of grades and things, been a bit spotty, and then there were 4 musicians, professional musicians, and none of the professional musicians had gone and done all that plodding stuff. They just, you know, like people, brilliant people like Goldie, Goldie just wakes up and just pukes ideas, you know, and he one day says, oh, I want to be a writer, or I want to be a painter, and he just goes and writes and paints. And it was a sort of battle of kind of learning or instinct, I suppose, in the end. It was interesting. Yeah,
but when I saw you in Edinburgh this year, you said that you'd tried to turn down the Bake Off.
On the tradition of just saying no to things that might be good. I mean, just absolutely flat no 3 times. Just said, that sounds awful. And they kept saying, I think you should. And what swung it was they said, you could do it with Mel. And I thought, that would just be lovely. That would be a lovely thing. You know, the double act thing. It's so weird, you know. They're like family. You love them, you hate them. And then they're closer than family, but they're not lovers. It's just weird. You can't... The undefinable, you know, intensity. And I just thought I'd like to be around her. I'm always around her as a friend, but I'd like to be around her in a work sense. And it went from there, really. They made us do it. And they were right.
But it's, phenomenally popular again. As I was saying backstage, my wife really enjoys it, but then I think I've... And Dave Gorman has said the same thing about this, that his wife watches it, and then he, you know, goes, oh, are you watching this? And then just gets really into it, because he's watching, and then he's more into it than she is, which I think has happened with my wife as well, because I kind of get into the personalities of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the cakes.
The cakes are good. I am now sort of 50% carbon, 50% lemon drizzle. All I do is eat and eat and eat. But they're really good folk, they are. They're just normal, proper folk.
Yeah.
I suppose... we haven't got to that point, I hope we never do, of caricaturising them, like making them into caricatures, I mean, like you would on Big Brother or I'm a Celebrity. It's not the gay one or the slightly mentally ill one or the, you know, whatever it is. You know, you just have real, authentic people who just want to make a nice croc en bouche, and I love them for it, you know.
And you're quite protective of them as well. I can't remember, but this is my wife saying this, but like if something embarrassing is happening or they're crying, that you and Mel will often kind of swear and stuff, so that they
I started,
they can't use it.
Ruby last year? Yeah, I think last year. He's a really wonderful, lovely human being, and she didn't cope well with it. It's very stressful, you know. You sort of, I don't know how many people have seen it, but this what looks like a very sort of measured, laid-back thing. It's actually lots of cameras and spaces, and what you're doing, and what you're making, and how do you make that, and what's creme pat, and she didn't respond well early doors to that. It was just too much, and I just thought, she's so nice, I don't want her to always be portrayed as crying. So I would often either hang my blazer on the camera, or I'd just make horrible, horrible comments about Unilever, or Procter & Gamble, or, you know, Budweiser, or whatever it was, just massive brands, and just puking out venom that I knew the BBC couldn't, you know. Or just saying, if I was to prefer one type of kitchen mixer, I'd absolutely go for it, and then they'd shut it down. BBC Trust would go to sort of, you know, panic stations. Because I think that sometimes it's appropriate when people are stressed to show them crying, and other times it just isn't.
Yeah, yeah.
And you need to... They need to trust you, and that's what we're... The two of us are there for that. We're like the pastoral care, with terrible jokes attached.
Do you ever worry you'll run out of puns about cakes?
Nearly this series. I was just literally knocking my head against a wall. And then came the delight of the Croatian loaf, and that was just the gift that kept on giving, really. It was just, you know... So they've brought in a lot more spiced... spiced Eastern European fanciful things, so the well has been replenished, but yeah. On the Victoria Sponge Week we're dead. It's literate, just get on with it. You've got 10 minutes left, what are you looking at? Crack on.
Alright, I'm going to ask you some of the emergency questions that people will be...
What does that mean? Have we got to emergency questions? Am I such a dullard?
You're not. It's very interesting. In fact, we've got a long way through without... if we don't ask them, they are there to save people when it's boring, but you haven't been boring. But people will be annoyed if they don't come up.
Will you be annoyed? Right,
yeah,
okay.
So.
Are these the same every week?
Some of them are, some of them might. Sometimes I mix up.
I love the way the answer is one, like the Borg.
Yes. Sort of. They are the same.
Yeah.
If you had to choose between dating...
Dating?
Yeah, well, hold on. A man...
Yeah.
And this, you know, this is your
advance.
Choice.
Yeah.
A man who was a 6 foot tall penis with a face...
Yeah, let's stop that right there.
The other one might be better.
All right,
or
okay.
A man who, instead of a penis, had a tiny man. Oh. Which of the two would you rather?
Right, can the tiny man talk?
Yeah, he can talk.
Creeps me out. No.
Got a very different personality to the man. I think he's almost the opposite personality
would
to the
penis,
man.
Okay, would the penis man argue? Yeah. Would it be an argumentative, fractious relationship?
I think it would be. That is my feeling, after having asked this question for a while. I think you'd be annoyed. I think of it from his point of view. He is...
A tiny man.
Well, he's
penis.
A tiny man, and he's in that guy's pants all the time. Does that guy? I mean, if the guy wears a kilt and is and loose fitting boxer shorts.
I don't
maybe that'd
think
be
I'd
okay.
want to be penetrated by something that had an opinion. I don't mean that like it sounds. Because I love you, men, very, very much, more than you know. More than the rather monolithic statement of my sexuality would imply. But what I mean by that,
yeah.
So that it's not taken out of context, when
it's
you
a genital
snip it,
with a,
is just a genital that's just bitching about you as it enters the sacred arena.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say... I'm thinking, is there a right and a wrong? I'm thinking I'd probably rather go out with a massive penis.
Yeah.
So it's got the face of a man.
It's got a face on its top bit there, like that.
I think that would be all right.
But then, you know, it doesn't have a penis.
It doesn't have any, so it's smooth
down
there.
Smooth down there, but it has like a hole in the top.
You are talking to somebody, as you know, for whom a penis isn't necessarily a prerequisite for a date.
I do, but I ask everyone that question.
It's an interesting dilemma, yeah. But I think... although it would be fun to have the man penis for an hour,
yeah.
I'm going to go for the smooth mega cock.
Yeah. It would be a talking point. It would probably get in the gossip.
Yeah.
Parts of the newspaper.
I imagine
that, confusing. Yeah. Jan Moyer would be confused.
I think the Daily Mail would implode at the sight of me and a 6 foot smooth penis. Whose face is it? Can I choose?
Yes, you can choose someone's
Jeremy
face.
Jeremy Clarkson's face.
Okay.
And I would like to wander arm in arm with Jeremy Clarkson penis. And
do you want Jeremy Clarkson's face to be surgically removed from it, like in Face Off, from his own face, and replaced with the bit of skin from the penis?
It is. It's sort of tempting to say yes, but I think that would—that's almost incitement to violence. So yeah. I'm going to leave. What I'm going to do is I'm going to get the guys at the lab. You know the lab we've got.
Yeah.
I'm going to get the guys there to just make a.
They can
fake
do
a,
face. They can do like a death mask while he's still alive,
yeah.
And then just use that as a
maybe animate
template.
A little bit. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's, they can do amazing things these days with Jeremy Clarkson's face. Well, that's a good answer.
Any geneticists out there? Maybe play with that idea. Come back to me and see what gives.
Okay. Would you rather have a tit that dispensed talcum powder?
Have a what?
A tit that dispensed talcum powder, which is as if that's an odd thing for someone to say. Or a finger that could travel through time.
Oh, that question. A finger that could travel through time. I mean, the talcum powder is a thing of that. We need to get away from talcum powder being a real thing. When we were kids, it was a massive thing because for some reason our buttocks could at any point become raw. Yeah. At any point. It was like a big 80s, 70s thing. At any point. I must cover everything in talcum. I just can't see the value in a tit now that dispenses basically ground chalk. I can't see it. I have to have a finger. What, right? Does it fly off my hand?
No, it stays on your hand, but so that would go into. So there's the time portal there.
Right.
And then that is.
So Richard is now doing the playground sign for vaginal penetration.
How could anyone see it like that? This is. You have to have a very dirty mind to see this as anything other than. That's a time portal. There's the finger. And now, look, your hand is in present day, but your finger.
But
it's waggling around anywhere in time. It could be.
But your finger can't report back what different times are like. Because there's no brain in the finger.
Like, there would be a little thing. Boo, 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 boo. I will go to 1605, the gunpowder plot. And then you could look through. Hey, Guy Fawkes, you prick.
Yeah, but only a finger can go through. And your finger can't report back. Your finger, it's just. All your finger's feeling is it's just gone through a hole.
But it could change time. You could do things.
The finger isn't sentient. The finger can't go. Yeah, but you can. You're not going to believe what's happening in 1690.
Look at that gap there. You could look in.
Oh, now, okay. How big is the time portal?
It's that big. It's exactly.
Oh,
that
I'd
big.
Do that. Yeah. So I can have a sneak peek.
Yeah.
Okay. But if it's that big, why wouldn't you want to put your tongue in there or something? Don't you want to put your tongue in the 16th century?
I knew we should never have had a lesbian on this show. That is. It's all they think about.
It's my answer to everything. It's my stock response. Put a tongue in that. And why not?
Let's get back to
why
the,
not?
Let's get back to the
you're
proper
the one that's
question.
Made me go out with a 6-foot penis with Jeremy Clarkson's face on it, you pervert.
Oh, let's have a look at... Do you want to know what your fans are like according to YouGov? I don't know what the government's doing. I don't know if... Is YouGov... That's what your fans look like. I mean, I think they look quite nice.
I think they look really nice.
They are 25...
I think that is my fan. I think that's what you're saying.
They are like my fans. They're aged 25 to 39. They are ABC1, like my fans, which is good. That is, you know, that's good for advertising. Oh, my fans are, by the way, well done to you. You are. There's a left-wing, right-wing politics thing, and you are the most left-wing you can possibly get. You are more left. Stuart Lee is like a little nudge away from being as left... So you are very left-wing, though even though you have £500 to £999 a month spare money. It's kind of interesting.
Champagne socialists.
Your fans have £125 less than £125 spare.
Hang on, and where do mine stand politically?
They are quite left-wing. They're like, if it was a mileometer...
Yeah, where are they at?
You are sort of, you're approaching the empty... If it was
a mileometer and you're empty.
Thank
God you didn't do dangerous
there.
Fuel
it's
tank.
Not, it's near to naught. You're like you're one notch over. If it was a fuel tank, you'd be getting down into the red area.
Right.
If it's mine's a fuel tank, you'll be basically we're walking.
Right.
Your typical professions, healthcare and medicine, civil society and charity and education. They're nice people, your
friends. Yeah, they are nice people.
Do you want to find out what TV shows they like?
Yeah.
Will you be disappointed if it's not? I haven't looked.
They like Never Mind the Full Stops.
They like Stuart Lee's Comedy Vehicle. That is their favourite.
Of course.
The Armstrong and Miller Show. Mm. There's a double act they like more than
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Just a Minute, which at least you're in.
Yeah, I am in that.
And their favourite celebrity is Miranda Richardson.
She's lovely. What's not to love about Miranda?
I know, it's kind of surprised, Miranda. I don't know where they gather this from. Whether they've shown these people like fire. Because Miranda
Richardson's like rare fruit, though. She's sort of clever and slightly mysterious. I'm pleased with that.
Well, she's the rather than you. Your sample size is 521. Your sample size.
Don't ever tell a woman her sample size is 521.
Your fans read the Radio Times and the Guardian.
Yeah.
Mine read Private Eye and the Guardian. They like QI and QIXL. They fucking love QI.
I love QI.
And Pointless. My fans don't like Pointless. I'm sorry. I think this is nicer than the other one. Yours aren't. This is. I'd also do the Dirty Britcom Confessions. Have you been to this website?
No. I don't.
Where people put in their fantasies about comedians.
Right.
And yours are all quite nice. They're not unpleasant, but they're not all that funny either.
Okay.
So they're kind of quite...
What you wanted, some sort of horrendous sort of sex dungeon nightmare?
I would like that, yeah. It makes it funnier for this.
Yeah,
I think there was one, I can't find it. Was it with Victoria Coren that someone wanted Sue to be watching? Or they wanted Victoria Coren to be watching someone? I can't find that one again. I think that
they wanted me to be watching Victoria Coren.
They wanted to have sex with you while Victoria Coren watched, or had sex with Victoria Coren whilst you watched.
Would you be up for that?
Yeah.
We can arrange that.
Yours are like, I just want to cuddle with Sue Perkins, preferably in the outfit she wore on The Bubble. You remember what that was?
Oh, that's a very specific reference.
Or naked, I'm not fussy.
Listen, there's no point naked. Pre-bake-off, yes. Literally, but now, no.
So these are all
terrible,
anonymous. Sue Perkins turns me on more than any other woman. It's not just cakes that have a soggy bottom when Great British Bake Off is on.
Soggy bottom?
Yeah, that sort of implies...
They've shat themselves. I mean, that's not going to endear me to anybody. Oh, I love her so much, I've just done a diarrhea wee out of my bum hole. It's like, oh...
Sue Perkins reminds me of my biology teacher from when I was in school, both in looks and temperament. I'm seeing a pattern in the women who have made me question my sexuality and my need to be bent over a desk by them.
Bent over a desk?
They're questioning that, I think.
Right. I mean, it's complex, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, I'm leaving here with more questions than answers. Yeah.
Sue Perkins with a bullet vibe in a library.
I
think that's a bullet vibrator, I'm guessing. I don't know much about vibrators, but I'm guessing it's some kind of vibrator. Andy? Yeah, okay.
Small
Andy
vibrator.
Andy McCaich is the dildo expert.
Are you?
He is right. Now. I'm not talking about Cluedo, she says, so she wants to... She wants to go in a library and YouTube, I guess, a small vibrator.
I'm just busy. No? I'm sort of busy. I mean, it's... Are these suggestions or are they direct
requests? Well, I mean, I think if you were interested, you could maybe post and go, yeah, I'd be up for that.
I think that's a very slippery slope.
Okay, well...
Don't you? This is just procurement, this show, isn't it?
They're all very nice, so they're all about how gorgeous you are. I'd kill for a threesome with Tig Notaro and Sue Perkins. Would you be prepared to have a threesome with someone who had murdered someone in order to get into that threesome? That would be kind of quite...
She murdered somebody.
Well, she said I'd kill for a threesome.
Oh, right.
Presumably she's murdered someone. You're then in the threesome and you're thinking...
I'd find that difficult. I mean, emotionally awkward. Yeah. Yeah. It depends how soon as well. If I knew... Oh, I don't know.
Well, it's sort of like the prize you would know because that's the prize. Go, well, the prize... Well done. You've committed murder. Yeah. Here's Tig. Here we are.
Yeah. Let's go. Oh, isn't this awkward? I don't know that I would have three-way with somebody who'd recently committed a murder.
Okay.
But, you know, I don't rule anything out.
Your fans, shall I tell you what they like?
It's not as good. Always do.
No, this is new. Do you know what they mainly shop in Paper Chase, your fans?
Stationary addicted.
That means you could
Who can mainly shop in Paper Chase? How do you live? When do you buy groceries?
Well, like my fans, your fans shop at Sainsbury's, which makes sense because they've only got less than £125. I can't understand why my fans, with their £500 to £999 spare, aren't going to Waitrose. Get your groceries delivered, folks. Sitting back on all that money. Why don't you give some money to my fucking pound a month, you fucking tight cunts?
So hang on, yours have got more money because maybe they haven't got kids or...
I'm guessing that's the problem.
Less responsible members of society.
Look at them.
They look good to me, but I can only see one and he's a dildo expert. Good for you, sir. That's an incredible area of speciality. So that's they're nice, they're caring people. They you know where they shop. They live in Paper Chase. They entertain semi-violent fantasies of me and Victoria Corran.
They drive. That's a different website. They drive. They drive a Hyundai.
Oh, you lost me at Hyundai. Yeah.
It's good to know.
I don't even know much about her. I don't think it would be a deal breaker, the car, for me. Okay. For you?
No, I'm not really interested in cars, as I say.
I'm not either. It doesn't bother me, really. I don't think so.
Your fans' clothing brands are Cath Kidston, the North Face.
Well, at least you can see them coming.
The North Face, so they're just wearing kind of quite hot jackets.
They're hikers.
And Rockport, I don't even know what that is.
No, I don't know what that is. Is it is another outdoor clothing manufacturer? Is it?
Anyone? Yeah, there's one of your fans over there. Get him with his Cath Kidston pants on, North Face, and his
sort of gay Ranulph Fiennes as the sort of profile we're getting here. A very floral explorer.
Your fans are quite sophisticated. They like Sharwood's like spices. They have Sharwood's.
The less sophisticated version of Sharwood's.
Sharwood spice, get like those little
orientalise it.
That's nice.
Been watching the Mekong. I'm gonna get some Sharwood's in tonight. I'm gonna Staranese the shit out of this lasagna.
How are you so good at
Did you just look at your watch, you shit?
I was just checking. I know you need to go.
I've known this
you
man.
You need to go. I'm having so much fun.
20 something years.
I'm having so much fun. I don't want to keep you longer than you are prepared to stay. Said, I'll be in a room with these people for 55 minutes, Richard, and that is all I'm going to give you.
Then I am gone.
How are you so good at just a minute? How do you.
I just talk.
How do you do it? No, it's hard, though. The first time I was on Just a Minute, you were on. And you buzzed within the first 5 seconds of me speaking.
That's tough love, Richard. You've got your own
so
back.
So difficult.
By mentioning all the dross that I've made over the last 20 years. Practice. First time I did it, I was really awful. It was in Dorking, and it was in 2001, I think. I was awful. It was really bad. I spoke for 5 seconds and wanted to die, and I was wearing a very itchy jumper. And I went home and cried, and it's got better since then.
You're incredibly good at it. I think you might be the best person at it.
No, Paul's the best person at it.
I don't know. I think you're better than him.
That's sacrilege. Listen to the crowd. Hear a pin drop. No, he's marvellous, I think. I don't know. It's just nice to do, because you just wear what you want, and you don't have to practice anything, and you just make it up. Then they give me now really hard things like Dadaism and string theory.
Yes.
I don't even know what that is. I'm sure you all know what string theory is. I haven't a clue. It didn't stop me talking about it for 59 minutes.
I haven't yet. I've now managed about 35 seconds, I think, is my record on it. You,
what topic?
I did something about Icarus. I don't know if it was about Icarus or Greek mythology. I talked about Icarus for ages, although they let me have I started by saying something twice.
Yeah.
They let me start again. Because they were so bad. I think, like, I just said something. I can't remember what it was. It was some word, you know, some phrase which has the same word just repeated twice. And Paul Merton buzzed in. Then he went, "Oh no, it's all right. You can have it."
Yeah, it's usually things like YOY or the really bad ones. BBC when they buzz for BBC, that is tough love.
Yeah.
That is really hard.
And
are there any more emergency questions?
No, there are some more, but I'm going to save them up.
Ah, tease.
You were the judge of the Booker Prize.
Yeah.
Is that as difficult as it sounds?
So painful. Right, imagine 135 proper books, thick, dense books with adverbs in, coming into your house in dribs and drabs, 99% of which are awful. I mean, really, really awful. Like, there's always sort of themes every year, like some years it's very multicultural, some years there's lots of terrible sex scenes in the books. This was the year for animal cruelty. So every book was like, and then the goat had its throat slit and the blood was like liquid red rubies. Really awful, terrible analogies. And there was lots of that. And everyone was trying to be Monica Ali and failing, or everyone was trying to be Hilary Mantel and failing. And it was really bad. And then my eyesight got really terrible when I was doing it. Really did. I sort of had to have new glasses prescription every sort of 2 months or something.
But do you read them all, or do you read the first page and then go?
No, I did. I really did read all of them, because I took it really seriously, because I'm a real nerd and I took it really seriously. But they were terrible in the main. And the one that I wanted to win didn't win.
Right.
So I was a bit sad about that.
Who would you have had win if you had chosen? I'd, or you're not allowed to say?
No, it was years ago. I wanted Kurt Seer to win, who's a South African writer, and he's really, really good. Okay. And it was a really great book called Summertime. But Hilary Mantel won. Whatever happened to her? They say that literature isn't funny. Listen to the room. Listen
do
to
they pay the temperature. You, do they pay you loads of money to do it?
No, they pay a few grand. Which is, you know, it's a lot of money, but it was a 9 months' work.
And you get to keep all the books?
Yeah, eBay. Slowly been puking eBay. Them to charity stores since then. But they have big numbers. A woman writes a big squeaky like black pen on the side, number 1, 2, 3, up to 1, 3, 4. And yeah, if you look at any charity shop in London, you're bound to find at least one book with a big. That would be one of my Booker, yeah, ones. But it was not a great year, 2008, for the Booker, I didn't think.
No. Well, they had you as a judge. It must have been.
It was very, very, very low ebb they were at.
Can we get the girl off of Never Mind the Full Stops in to do it?
She's good at semicolons. She's brilliant.
All right, I'll ask you an emergency question because I was rude.
Do you ever ask the audience to ask questions? No,
I do, but they just ask really rubbish stuff. If you want to do that,
you don't have to take.
If you want to take,
you know,
if you want to take the chance, I can throw it open to the audience.
Well, I don't.
Let's take the chance. They'll just demonstrate by asking something. Can we have the lights up? And would anyone in the audience like to ask Sue Perkins? What's your favourite cake, Sue? Is it? I've got an idea of a cake you could do on Great. Why don't you do a fruit cake? Get them to do a fruit cake on it. Have anyone got any questions?
This is abusive.
What is it? What is Mel like in real life?
She's awful.
Anyone got a question for Sue? They're a bit. Oh, the lights have.
That's
the lights
that's
have decided.
That,
bang! No.
All right, go on. Do your emergency.
Andy McCage has a question.
Oh, is it about dildos?
Don't make it a good one.
It's not really a question.
It's not really a question. Oh. Such as a statement.
Oh, bless you. It is a very Scottish word, is it not? Fud. When you describe the lady area. Fud.
See, that's what happens to you, but that isn't even. We throw it open to questions, and a man just says, I liked it when you said fud on TV. That is why I ask the questions. You laugh at the funny things I say, and I'll do the questions.
I think there is a bigger discussion to be had. For instance, when you were in the middle of Rainforest, and a Cambodian woman who speaks a tribal dialect that only 100 people in the world speak, and there are 4 translators that have to get it from her dialect through to Khmer to English. When she asks you what you call that, and you're trying to think of how many broadcastable words you can say, there are millions of words. But my brother is married to a wonderful Scottish woman, and my nieces are Scottish, and I spent a lot of time in Scotland, and that was the word that came to mind. Fud. You could say anything, Mary, or you know, whatever, but that was the one.
Anyone got a question? Or just go, I liked it when you... Yes, what's your question? I'll repeat it after you've said it.
Do you get really stoned before an episode of Bake Off?
Do you get really stoned before an episode of Bake Off? See? Fucking shit question.
Mary gets really stoned. She just... Paul sometimes hits the magic mushrooms. Mel and I keep it real. A couple of cans of Stella straight on it. But, you know, Mary just blasts off into hyperspace pretty early doors on a recording day.
Let's rescue this with a proper question. Which celebrity would you like to stroke your hair as you die? We're back on...
Which celebrity? That's great. Yeah,
as
question.
You're dying, because they know you're dying, Sue.
Yeah.
Don't worry, you'll be all right. Who would you like to comfort you on or not?
On a sort of slightly pervy level, part of me would like to be sort of somebody classy like Marion Cotillard or somebody gorgeous. But then part of me thinks maybe Robert Powell, because your dying moments could be there is God, there's Jesus. Jesus is here.
But what if then the real Jesus was a disappointment after Robert Powell? That'd be having Robert Powell, then the real Jesus, they're going, oh, hello.
Some bucktooth guy with us.
Good as Robert
Powell. Yeah. Who are you? Which celeb? Well, I mean, you know, as we know, the pool of celebrities who aren't creepy from our childhood is so... It's such a diminished thing now, isn't it? Any of the names I would have said are just wrong now.
Okay.
Post YouTube.
Are you planning to update the Mel and Sue website? Talking of which... Which ends on rice. The last thing you mentioned is we're going to do rice.
Which we were sacked from. I was sacked, actually. I was sacked from Rise, and then Mel joined me in protest. Yeah. But I campaigned against them. But there was a problem with the working conditions of some of the runners, and I had the audacity to speak up and then was just sacked.
I was on Rise and I was promoting Talking Cock, I think the book of Talking Cock, and they said I wasn't allowed to say cock on Rise.
What did you say in its
place? Well, I got around it, but I would start each segment by going like cock-a-doodle-doo or something like that. And then one of the runners, who'd been one of the runners on the Lee and Herring shows, came up to me and said, if you say cock again, they're going to sack me. I was blackmailed into, even though I was just using the word cock in perfectly acceptable phrases.
That was the kind of atmosphere they engendered there. At any point, anyone could just get fired. Yeah, randomly. And then it was my turn. No, I like keeping the Mel and Sue website just at that point. Just at the point where we just went off the cliff and didn't work again for 7 years. And I'm going to leave it like that.
Because there's a joke in there, in the biographies, which I think you've written for each other, where they're quite jokey biographies, but there's a joke about Mel falling into the lap of Jimmy Savile or something. If you look on there, so it was quite...
Of its time.
It was of its time.
All good banter of its time. Might go and update that bit.
Might be worth having a look at that. It was interesting to go. I haven't asked you this. This is a new section called Des Island Dicks.
Right.
It's not what you think it's going
to
be.
Okay, I'm open to everything.
It's a classy segment.
Yeah.
If you were being stranded on a desert island, which eight Richards would you take? You could take any Richard you wanted, which would be your eight Richards.
I am
already on there. I'm like Shakespeare in the Bible.
All right.
I'm on the island. I'm on all the islands.
All right, well, you've got to have Attenborough, have you not?
Okay,
everyone has Attenborough. I would say Richard Chamberlain. Just to look at what that face is doing.
Yeah.
That waxy edifice and how, if and how, it's crumbled. Just there. And I'd probably talk to him a lot about Thornbirds, which is a fairly seminal work for people of my age when learning about sex in a mainly Catholic household. I would... What other Richards?
This is what's good about the question.
I'm saying...
Because eight is quite a lot.
Yeah, I'm saying...
It's kind of good for two, and then you go, okay, no, I'm going to press you on the next six.
All right. Definitely my ex-boyfriend, Richard,
who
I went out for about 8 years, and he's a lovely man, who I still love very much, just not in that way. And so he'd definitely have to be there because he's excellent.
Yeah. If you were on a desert island with him and seven other Richards, would you have sex with him every now and again? Just,
you know, I might.
Yeah, okay. For old time's sake.
Yes, why not? Okay. Why not? Okay. Richards, not the Hammond. I couldn't do the Hammond. I don't think I could do the Hammond. Madeley, come on.
Both
those. The terrible rows as he. Oh, yeah. Got for the sport.
We're halfway
Madeley.
Through the Richards now. This is why this is a great question. Because
do you ask everybody
funny
this
for a bit,
question?
Now I've started doing, and it's sort of like this every time.
Okay, God, Richard really... Hickox, who was the conductor of the. Which orchestra it was? There's a very early music orchestra that he used to conduct, and he's a musical genius. It's not quite obscure, but
had your ex-boyfriend on it. That was quite obscure.
Richard Ayoade, of course.
Yeah,
beautiful
nice.
Man. How many is that?
Six.
Six.
Got two more. And they've got to be considered. It's not just saying eight people you thought of whose name is Richard.
Now I'm just thinking of any Richard.
These have to be the ones
I'm actually
that you would
thinking
go
of that,
with the desert
I'm
island
thinking of that Richard that was on Fame Academy, because he's come into my head. Richard Parks, that really sort of austere Scottish guy. But
Do you want him or not?
No, because I don't really know him. He might be lovely, but he might be weird.
Don't want a Richard who would wreck this island of Richards.
Richard. What other Richards are there?
No, don't get no clue. No clues.
Richard
no
the
clues.
Third, Richard the Second, and Richard the First.
That is nine Richards.
All right. Richards. I'm not interested in Richard the First.
Okay. He's the best one. Good. That is that question answered. Congratulations.
Does it always take 20 minutes to answer?
Congratulations. I had something I was going to follow up on that, but it slipped my mind. Such a boring. Have you ever seen a ghost?
Yes.
Oh, good.
I hallucinated once, quite recently, in the Tibetan Autonomous Region, which is about 4,000 metres above sea level, and I got altitude sickness quite badly and needed a lot of oxygen. And I was playing with this 8-year-old kid down on one side of the valley, and then took a drive, 20-minute drive up to the other side, just to have a bit of time to myself, and just sat on the mountainside, and all these Tibetan flags were sort of blowing in the breeze. and I felt a little bit pinchy of chest and opened my eyes, and the little girl was standing there. She just beckoned me over, like in The Matrix, and took my hand and walked me down to the village, walked through some doors, and Chinese cartoons are playing on the television. Bearing in mind, this is a village which is kids never get educated. There are no schools. There's no transportation to schools. And they stay in that community, and they work in the vineyards that were planted by the French missionaries in the 19th century. And sat and watched Chinese cartoons, and she made me something to eat, and then she popped the channel changer on my knee and said, in perfect English, you can change channel any time you want. And I totally freaked out. I screamed my way around the house, and that really frightened her. And then I was asked to leave by her mother in a sort of, you know, chattering, sort of frenetic Tibetan. But yeah, I absolutely tripped on lack of oxygen. I sort of lost the plot, and I had this sort of weird...
She exist, the girl?
She did exist, because she's on camera, you see her, but I in my head she's just followed me.
The really good ghosts can still be seen on camera.
What, the really clever ones?
Yeah.
People feel, I don't know, but I've never seen I've never seen a sort of, ooh, you know, a kind of phantom.
No.
Nothing. Have you? No, of course you haven't.
They don't exist.
Total. No, and I had oxygen deprivation leading to a slightly weird encounter.
I'm going to try
it. It was not supernatural.
That is good. All right.
Don't
well,
tell me you've never tried oxygen deprivation.
I have.
In a doorway. You've tried all sorts.
I think wanking's good enough as it is already. That's what I don't get. Like, oh, I'm going to improve this. How? Why? Why bother? Why take the chance? It's already the best thing there is. I go, let's just push this a little further.
Does your wife listen to this show?
She knows. Come on. No, I've done, you know, I know myself. That's 47 years.
Yeah, it's true.
Of constant wanking. No woman can cope with
it. Isn't that a Katie Lang song? It should be.
Well, you know what?
Is that the end of the book that you've written, which amounts to all the rubbish things I've done and the questions about what kind of penis I'd like?
There's mainly penis and listing. Lots of good things you've done, but there isn't time to get to all of them. I'd like to see you being Doctor Who. There was talk that you would be Doctor Who. Well, or the Doctor in Doctor Who.
Listen, I love Doctor Who. I'm a massive fan, but I don't think they'll ever countenance a female regeneration of Doctor Who. I'd love it if they did.
The spoiler alert, the Master's become a woman, though, hasn't he, she?
Yeah.
So that's
And that's brilliant. And if anyone could do it, it would be the combined genius of Gatiss and Moffat et al. But I was chuffed to even... to think that someone had got an online petition. It was actually be in some of the radio recordings that they do. It wasn't to be on the television doctor. But yeah, I was very chuffed. But the best thing ever happened to me, which was my name was used in a Judge Dredd cartoon. And that was literally one of the best moments of my life, because I am that sad. Yeah, they named a block after me in Judge Dredd. It's tragic, isn't it? It's all coming out now.
Would you ever advertise Super King cigarettes?
Would I advertise them?
Because I think you should.
They don't even make them anymore.
They should remake them.
Super Kings.
You go, I'm Super Kings and I like Super Kings. So should you. They're quite unpleasant.
Well, I'm watching people make brioche. I like to kick back. No, of course I would. Yeah. It seems a totally socially responsible thing to do. I'm
in. Good. Your face on the pack. Do you think if they put the faces of comedians on packs of cigarettes, that might be a
repulsive
way to stop children smoking?
Yeah. Horrible. Yeah, that would be a massive deterrent if my face was on every packet of cigarettes. Just put camel written underneath.
Do you think your parents realise what they were doing when they named you
Super Kings? No, well, my real name is obviously Susan. Which
you've got to think through. I'm having a child. I don't know if you know this. My wife
is impregnated. It's a source of great concern after this last hour.
And I've been thinking of, you know, you think of the funny names you could give them. And so you think through every thing. So if they
Red.
Just went, ah, oh, just, yeah, Red,
Red
and Leanne and all sorts of things. So they, your parents went, they looked and what, how can we make Perkins? That's going to be difficult to make funny. Yeah. Hey, so let's call her Susan. It's subtle. It'll take a long time.
Yeah,
and then someone will be smoking, and then go, ah!
And no, it was a slow
you
burner.
That.
Slow burner.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if they had that in mind, but
no.
Yeah.
I think your parents
hated you. Awful people. I want another emergency question.
Okay, I'll give you one more emergency question, right. Then we will call it a day.
Okay.
Because, you know, I've got like a proper...
We don't have to have another emergency question.
No, I want to.
It'll be kind of interesting.
People will want to know. I'm going to pick a really good one.
Are they different every week?
There's some that I do, you know, there's some that I don't even remember even writing down, like this one. Has the moon ever spoken to you? I mean, it's unlikely, but, you know, fuck it, it's going to be a brilliant end to the show if
I'm going to keep this very short.
Yeah.
No. Okay. No. I'm going to keep that concise.
What about this? What do you imagine the Victorians found so sexy about ankles? That is an emergency question I don't think I've asked anyone before. What do you imagine it is?
Have you seen Queen Victoria? Just they wanted to get as far away from the face as possible. They just looked down. Oh, well, she's got a lovely turned calf and ankle. Yeah, I'd say.
And how many chemicals are there in a carrot?
7.
It's more than that.
12.
I can't remember the answer.
Is it more or less than 12?
It's loads, about 41, I think. Mm. And what are they? I'll ask you this. We'll end on this. Would you rather have a hand made out of ham or an armpit that dispensed sun cream? People will want to know that before we go. So,
right.
it's lots of things. You can nibble the ham and it'll grow back.
I don't eat pig.
It's not a pig though. It's your hand. Just tastes of ham and looks like ham and is like ham, but it's like.
But are you saying it is ham? So it
but
is.
It's not.
It is.
It's not made out of a pig, though. It's grown out of your hand, so
but,
it's not.
But ham is pig. You can't
it
say
is,
it's human
but
ham.
It's not. No pig has died for that.
Right. So I can either eat on something that I don't necessarily like in moments of hunger, when presumably there's just normal food around that I. can
All right.
Have.
What food do you like?
I like all food, other than a hand ham.
Let's find out. Let's find out what.
So
what your fans. Eat. Hold on. The favourite dish of your fans is chicken stir fry. Thai chicken stir fry.
Right.
Would you rather
good.
Have a hand made out of Thai chicken stir fry?
Yeah. That now we're talking.
Or an armpit that dispensed.
That's only useful. I mean, in these climes, it's not very useful to have an armpit that dispenses. Also, does it? Do you have to action it mentally, or does it just leak sunscreen?
Oh,
the whole
no, you
time?
Get to choose when it
so
comes out.
So you just do the chicken thing and it just kind of. Yeah. But it's just going to go down your side, so you're going to have one perfectly sunscreened side and they're actually just burnt to a cinder.
Cup it.
Who wouldn't want to just be watching a film and to just nibble on Thai chicken? Is it, it's like a stir fry.
Yeah, chicken. Oh. Yeah. Chicken
and it's a regenerative hand.
It would if you ate it all, it would take a while to regenerate. But if you
how long?
Like a month. But if you just nibbled it, it would grow back almost instantaneously.
I still think that's more use than just hot, leaking a bit of Factor 20 from an armpit.
Well, not everyone agrees with you, Sue Perkins. On that, ladies and gentlemen, will you give a massive round of applause to my guest, Sue Perkins? You have been listening to Richard Herring's Left Square Theatre podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Sue Perkins. The music is by Pest. Thanks to Orange Mark at British Comedy Guide, and everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre, and Chris Evans, not that one, and everyone at Go Faster Strike. The producer was Dave Cribb. He's got ginger hair, and it is a Sky Potato Fuzz, and something else. Oh, Go Faster Strike production for the internet. I hope you enjoyed it. There's not many left in the series now, so, don't know what you want me to do about that. We'll make some more next year, probably. Come and see me on tour, richardherring.com/gigs. Go to gofasterstripe.com/badges, and you can help fund the podcast by buying a badge, paying £1 a month, or a bit more than £1 a month if you want, whatever you like. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed it. See you next time. Bye!
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thanks again for listening to the podcast. RichardHerring.com/ballback/tour or RichardHerring.com/gigs for all of the information on the tour. GoFasterStripe.com for lots of downloads and books and lots of fun. Thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your friends about the tour. I love you all. I'm out.